You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio.
It's Wednesday, March 6th, and you're listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast.
That is the voice of today's special guest, a man who, like Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels and Drake May, refused to compete at the NFL Scouting Combine and yet was taken number one overall in the draft anyway. Curious. Weird. Is he to blame for the now annual opt-out strategy adopted by some of the top NFL prospects? Let's ask this he who calls in from his California compound. Let's ask today's special guest, Super Bowl champion David Carr. Welcome back to the interrogation room, DC.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. I don't feel too stressed out about it, though.
David, I happen to know or think I know, which probably explains why you're not stressed out about it, the answer to the question. But why did you RSVP will not attend to the combine back in 02? I can't imagine you were afraid of competing against Joey Harrington and Patrick Ramsey and Josh McCown. No disrespect to those guys. Maybe you were advised not to run, not to risk, or maybe there were other reasons entirely.
Yeah, there were multiple reasons. I think that the biggest thing about the combine is obviously, I think, the interviews and the chance that you get to spend face-to-face with, you know, the head coach, the offensive coordinator, the staff, and just to see how you tick. Because, you know, hopefully, and I believe this is the case for most teams, by the time they see you at the combine, they know what type of player you are. You know, they've seen you play a ton of football games. They've gone back and talked to, in my case, they talked to my junior high football coach, my fifth grade football coach. They go back and they do their research. They just want to get to know you as a person. So I think from a competition standpoint, I think it's overblown, man. You talk about guys don't want to compete. I mean, we're in shorts, guys. Like, what are we doing? Like, it obviously, there are some things you can learn about players. You can watch them move around and you can get a feel. Like, you know, it's funny. I was sitting there watching the combine, some of it with Derek the other day. And we you know, we put our coaching hats on and we're like, oh, he can't play. Oh, he can play. And it's like, what are we doing? You know, and he was even laughing about it because he's like, you find out who can play and who can't play football on the field. Now you can see guys move around. So I think that was the biggest thing for me is I thought, you know, I mean, I'm from Fresno State. I was like, what I'm going to do is I'm not going to run. I'm not going to do any of these things. And I'm going to make them come to Fresno and see my boys because none of my guys got invited. I was the only guy. We had a good football team my last year. And I was the only guy that got invited to the combine. So I was, you know, not selfishly, but I was hoping that they could kind of come out to Fresno and see our guys have some tri-tip, you know, see my guys run around. And they did. And guys showed up and watched me run a 40 in Fresno. And it was 39 yards downhill. I ran one, jumped over the fence, left, and they all got to see my guys work out. So it worked out pretty good.
Well, translation, David Carr was and still is a very thoughtful and giving person. Well, good for you. I'm your host, NFL Network senior writer Andrew Levy, and on today's show, Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl window. Wide open, closing, or closed? I also want to hear what David saw on Saturday at the Combine that we may not have seen. You were watching these quarterbacks, these players, wideouts and running backs too, with highly trained eyes that look for what Bucky Brooks always implores us to look for, what the player is capable of, projection, not merely production. And I want to hear what you saw from the quarterbacks. Plus, a word or two on the guys paid to stop the David Carrs of the world, the pass rushers who we saw kick off the combine this past Thursday. There are a few guys who David was furiously circling and recircling in his notebook for reasons we will get him to share. I also have a few questions about NFL quarterbacks who may be on the move. Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields certainly topped the list. Maybe Baker Mayfield too. And of course, after getting released by the Broncos, Russell Wilson will certainly be on the move. Where could he go? Not nearly as interesting a question as where should he go. So let's ask that one coming up. But first, this.
Runs out of a tackle. He's to the 10. He's to the 5. He's in for the touchdown. Saquon from 32 yards out.
On franchise tag deadline day, the move that struck many of us as the biggest move is the one that wasn't made. Saquon Barkley will not be tagged. David, I'm a bit surprised that you're not surprised. Please explain.
Well, I think that unfortunately in the last couple of years we've seen the, you know, it's the devalue of the running back position. I think it's hard to say that though when you look at guys like Christian McCaffrey and you see the value. You know, but I think unfortunately what has happened is that, you know, for many years these guys haven't made it to their next contract. They haven't gotten paid the big bucks, so it's never really moved the market for them. You know, with the quarterbacks, it's kind of been a leapfrog thing where guys will sign a $50 million contract and the next guy's going to sign for 10 years. The next guy's going to be guaranteed all his money, and Kirk Cousins is playing for guaranteed money for the last 10 years. You know, so I think that with the running backs, unfortunately, they feel like, and this is coaches talking, this isn't me, they feel like they can guy in college that has less tread on the tires that can do the same job. And even when you're talking
for
about
a
guys
lot
like
less.
Saquon Barkley, for a lot less money. And he's fresh, you know, and unfortunately, you know, the reality is these guys, there is a shelf life, right? There is an extent to their ability, especially when you are in the trenches, you get as many touches as these guys do. That's why I'm always surprised by guys that can make it to, you know, 30 plus at running back, you know, doing the things that some of these guys have been able to do. It's very difficult. You know, it's probably the hardest position for longevity. And unfortunately, the front office guys know this and head coaches know this. And even with a guy as dynamic as Saquon, they can say, you know what, we can get someone else. You know, we can get someone else to do the same thing for a lot less money.
Okay, David, what's the ripple effect for Daniel Jones? Because Daniel Jones was, I think we can agree, no, it's not disrespect, it's just evaluation. He was disappointing even with Saquon in there. Is he doomed if Saquon were to leave? What is the ripple effect for Daniel Jones?
Yeah, it's not great, you know, because the one thing that Saquon does a very good job of is dictating coverage. We hear me and Mike Robb talk about this all the time, and you have receivers that can do this, but you also have running backs. And Derrick Henry was in this mold for a while where he guarantees a loaded box, one more than you can block down there. And so you're essentially playing one-on-one on the outside. And so for a passing game coordinator, an offensive coordinator, quarterback, game's pretty easy. You know, it's one-on-ones on the outside. If you can hold up front, which they've been kind of up and down there, you know, you're going to have a pretty easy time about it. You know, and unfortunately, when he leaves, they're going to find out that it's not as smooth. You know, so I think that there is value to a guy like that, you know, to a running back that you can put in that position, to a Christian McCaffrey, if utilized correctly. Saquon Barkley, I would put in the same mold. You know, I think that if he can find a place, a situation where they can utilize him as he's been utilized in the past, out of the backfield, catching the football, you know, carrying the football 20, I still think he can do all the things he's ever done, you know, and I think he can dictate coverage. So, you know, for me, that's a huge loss for the Giants. That's going to be something that's very difficult to fill, because I don't look at them anymore and say they have the guy. They have the guy that's going to make me play a certain type of way on defense. They just don't have that guy, unfortunately. So it's going to be much more difficult in the quarterback.
Your description of the kind of situation that Saquon Barkley and his people will be looking for describes about 29-30 teams in the NFL, right? Like, I can't imagine the Niners making a play for him. I can't imagine the Dolphins making a play for him. And I can't imagine any other team not being interested. So the market will be robust for Saquon Barkley. Don't let the numbers on the contract fool you. This is a player, a high-value target for a lot of NFL teams. And as David said, he can become a coverage dictator in addition to being a threat on just about every single down. Quick seminar, listener, TA summer school style. There are three tender options. There's the non-exclusive franchise tag, there's the exclusive franchise tag, and there's the transition tag. Now, today was, what's today? It's 2:10 p.m. on Tuesday the 5th. This will drop on Wednesday morning, but we are recording this on franchise tag deadline day. Now, the non-exclusive franchise tag, that's the most commonly used tag. This is a one-year tender of the average of the top five salaries at a player's position over the last 5 years, or 120% of his previous salary, whichever is greater. Now, the thing that you have to remember is that the tagged players here can negotiate with other teams, but his current team has the right to match any offer or receive two first-round draft picks as compensation if he signs with another club. So while it gives the player leverage to go examine the market and see if there are suitors out there for him, it also gives a hell of a lot of leverage and compensation to the team. Now, the exclusive franchise tag is used very rarely these days. We haven't really seen it used, I think, since Kirk Cousins in D.C., so let's not even worry about the language there. The transition tag was used today by the Patriots on safety Kyle Duggar. That is a one-year tender offer, kind of like the non-exclusive franchise tag, except instead of the average of the top five salaries, the transition tag is actually the average of the top 10 salaries. So clearly less money paid by the team in this situation. And if the player were to seek a deal elsewhere and choose a deal elsewhere, if the team didn't match it, the team does not get compensation. That's the one difference for transition tag. I expect I made myself entirely obtuse there. As of the recording of at this moment, the following NFL players were hit with the non-exclusive tag. Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins. He'll be making just south of $22 million this next year. Wide receiver for the Colts, Michael Pittman Jr. He'll be making the same, $21.8 million. Baltimore Ravens defensive tackle Justin Madubuike, he will be making just north of $22 million. And then you've got linebackers for Carolina, Brian Burns. For Jacksonville Jaguars, Josh Allen. Yes, the other Josh Allen. Those guys will both be playing for $24 million in 2024. A couple cornerbacks who will be making $19.8 million. Bears, Jalen Johnson, and of course the defending champions, the Kansas City Chiefs, they tagged L'Jarius Sneed. Okay, on the subject of compensation, David Carr, the Denver Broncos will pay Russell Wilson $39 million not to play in Denver next season, meaning the market for this Super Bowl champion, who had top 10 in most quarterback metrics stat lines last season, could be actually more robust than we may have anticipated, because he could get signed for something close to the league minimum for a veteran of his experience, which is about $1.2 million. Super Bowl champion quarterback who still has some tread, arguably, on the tires for $1.2 million or not much more than that. Sign me up, I should think. A lot of NFL GMs will be saying to themselves, David, where could he go? We're certainly hearing Vikings, Falcons, Patriots, Commanders, Titans, Raiders thrown around, and that all makes sense when you break it down team by team. The more interesting question, and the answer I want from you, where should he go?
Yeah, so this all comes down to the old feeling that, you know, every player, every time he's in this situation, he gets to pick, right? What do you look at as valuable? What do you want out of this situation? Do you want to get paid? Do you want to go home? Do you want to play? Do you want to play at an all-pro level? Do you want to prove to people that you can still be the player that we think that you are? So many things that we can't figure out sitting here on this podcast that Russ is going to have to ask himself. Because like you said, he's going to have options. Because it's a very friendly deal for anybody that looks at Russ as a guy that can continue to play. So is Russ a guy that you bring into a Chicago, a Washington, a New England, all sitting at the top of the draft? They're going to grab a new quarterback. And now if you can get 2 or 3 years out of Russ, you know, and he's back home, maybe like in an area he feels comfortable, maybe he's in Washington, he feels like he really likes it there. Bienemy has a good offensive scheme, or, you know, whatever it is, right? What are you looking for, Russ? And then team-wise, can we get something? If we go and grab this guy and we pay him league minimum, can we get an all-pro player for a couple of years? I mean, that's going to open the door, I mean, to a lot of football teams, man. Like, Russ, you can say what you want about what you've seen out of him the last couple of years, but I still believe he can play at a high level. I really do. And I think that if he's in a situation where he feels comfortable and he feels appreciated, maybe he's in a mentor role for one of these young guys, I think he could play really good football. You know, I think the other situation is, is Russ looking for, you know, I still am the guy, you know, and he's a little bit lying to himself, maybe, about his ability. I think that that's another crucial element, and that could open up a door for, you know, a lot more situations than we're even talking about. But I think, you know, if I was Russ, I would look at a situation where, okay, you're going to bring a young quarterback in, that's fine. I'll compete with him. I'll mentor him. I'll do what I can, but I'm going to try and win. I'm sure I can still do some things. And there's some good teams. There's some teams that aren't far off. Like, that's what I love about today's league is like you look at the Houston Texans last year, grab CJ Stroud. They're right there. You know, they're a good football team. So it's not like, you know, when maybe back 20 years ago, you get picked at the top of the draft, your team's just terrible, right? You got so many holes to fill. You got so many things that you got to figure out. Not really. You know, the coaches are great. You know, across the board, they're starting to get an infusion of young talent with some guys that can really call offensive football. And I think that Russ is going to find a really good spot, and it's going to be a team-friendly deal, and I think everyone's going to be happy about it. It's not like, oh, Russ is coming in, he wants an office, he's got $100 million. Like, it's not that anymore, right? He's got to prove himself on the field, and I think that he's comfortable doing that.
Very interesting. So translation, it will take a combination of flexibility and maybe a little bit of humility too for Russell Wilson to find the perfect place. Again, listener, we're hearing Vikings, Falcons, Patriots, Commanders, Titans, Raiders thrown around. But David Carr said the question is not where could he go. The question for now is what does he want? That's the question that Russell Wilson has to answer first. When he does answer that question, now he will be able to see with clearer vision anyway what his options, what his best options really are. Let's turn to Kirk Cousins. We're hearing, definitely feeling too, some perfect for Sean Payton vibes, right, in the absence of Russell Wilson, but also some stay where you are Kirk Cousins vibes. If you're reading the tea leaves on Kirk Cousins, what do they portend for this man?
A lot of money. He's going to get paid.
He just continues to get paid, doesn't he? The bank of Kirk Cousins.
It's smart. You know, he's a guy that really thinks about these situations too. You know, us sitting here, no disrespect to what we're doing here, but he's not listening to us trying to figure out what he's going to do. You know, he knows exactly. Like, he's thought about this for 6 months. He has a really good plan. I think the cool part is, the Sean Payton stuff is absolutely real. I mean, if you look at just what Kirk is able to do, what Sean likes to do at the line of scrimmage, you know, with his ability to get in and out of good plays, like, he's great there, and he would be great with Sean. They would run an offense that would highlight his skill set. In Minnesota, obviously, he's had success there. I think that they really saw last year what they had in Kirk, you know, because I know, you know, just because my brother was in that market last year, the last offseason, that, you know, Kirk was, I mean, he wasn't necessarily locked into that place. You know, they were shopping, they were moving around, they were thinking, okay, maybe he won't sign, maybe he will. You know, so I think that that was an interesting dynamic in how that season played out with Minnesota, because they had to roll in a couple other guys, and they had some success, you know, briefly. But I think that they realized the value of Kirk Cousins, so I think that's only going to help him. But he'll make the right decision, you know, for himself and for his, you know, his playing ability, I think, number one. Obviously, the money is great, but I know Kirk, and I know that he wants to win more than anything.
If you're Kirk Cousins, I'm going to hold your feet to the fire on this one. If you're Kirk Cousins, your decision today, on the 5th of March, your decision is what? Stay in Minnesota?
I'll try and stay in Minnesota.
You would?
Yeah, that's what I would try to do. I'm looking at division. I don't want to play Pat Mahomes. I was in that division. I lived there. I watched my brother play against. I mean, that's tough. The AFC is tough. If you can stay in the NFC, you're Kirk Cousins late in your career, you get a chance to get in the playoffs, and you got a chance to be in the Super Bowl, I think you stay there.
Boom. Let's stay right there in the NFC. Let's talk Baker Mayfield. Refuses to be forgotten, refuses to be overlooked, and reportedly refuses to be underpaid, too. He will not take a team-friendly discount, according to one report anyway. He said before Baker Mayfield, before the Mike Evans extension, that he wanted to keep playing with Mike Evans. Now that the Evans extension is done, 2 years extension, by the way, for $52 million, as per Mike Garofalo, it seems like a matter of time before Baker signs. And yet, David Carr, based on what you know of Baker, is he more likely to test the market and invite a few suitors or commit to the Bucs? Maybe the better question, what would you advise him to do?
I think that I would absolutely test the market, but I think that kind of goes back to what I was talking about earlier with Kirk, if things are even. I really believe that Tampa Bay is going to make him an offer to be at least a 2 or 3 year guy. And that makes sense to me. It's not a situation where they don't know what type of player he is. The only time I saw Baker struggle last year was when he was hurt. You know, other than that, he was lights out. He played great on third down. He played great in the red zone. All the things that you want to see from a veteran quarterback, all the energy you want to see at the end of half into games, he had everything. You know, now you lose your offensive coordinator, who's now a head coach. So, well, you did a good job there, but now we're going to have to, you know, reload there and make sure we get a guy that runs a system that's still, because they were good there. They were top of the league, I thought. in schematically getting guys in positions to make plays. Obviously, signing Mike back is great. Getting him back in the building is going to be a huge component to that, because now it goes back to what we were talking about. All right, money's even. This deal's pretty good. Oh, Mike Evans is here. I've already had success here. Because I think that they'll offer him a contract that's worthy of what he put on the field.
And finally, Justin Fields. Hard to imagine that he'd stay in Chicago with all the assumptions about Caleb Williams. If you're Justin Fields, what's the landing spot or the type of landing spot you are hoping for, and why?
I think if I'm Justin, I'm looking for a situation that's going to highlight, you know, I get so frustrated watching Chicago the last couple of years, because what we see is an incredibly talented player and a guy that's just, he's a square peg trying to fit in a round hole. And I didn't like it. I didn't like any of the offense that they tried to do. I mean, I'm sure Luke Getsy, all these guys, they're good coordinators, you know, but it was just not a good fit. You know, I look at Justin and he should be in a system like Indy. He should be in a system like Philly. They should be running RPOs. They should be highlighting his ability to kind of decipher and break down defenses with his legs. That's where I see him. So I mean, it's a little bit out of the norm, because I don't know if Mike Tomlin necessarily would see himself doing this. But Arthur Smith is his offensive coordinator now. And so that tells me one thing. It tells me that they want to run the ball.
Yes.
And they want to do it a little bit differently.
Yes.
Because Arthur, if he's done anything, he's run the ball a little bit unconventionally. You know, he'll do some different things. And so I think that if you've done that and you've dipped your toe in that water, Mike, you know, don't put Justin Fields out of the realm of possibility, because I think that'd be interesting, man. You know, he's in the AFC. He sees Lamar. You know, he knows that type of offense and how dangerous that is. And if he sees that and he knows the success they have in Baltimore, he knows they have a good defense in Pittsburgh. They have good components there. They can do the same thing. They can duplicate that. So, you know, for me, I would look really, really hard at Justin Fields, especially with Arthur Smith in my building now.
Pittsburgh Steelers, stand up. Is it just possible that Justin Fields is coming your way? It doesn't seem like a perfect fit. You're absolutely right, David, for a Mike Tomlin team. And yet, it's kind of about Arthur Smith right now. And if we remember what Arthur Smith did in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill, with Derrick Henry, obviously a very different kind of athlete and quarterback to Ryan Tannehill, but what you are talking about and inviting us to remember is an innovative, slightly different running game, which does lend itself toward a skill set the likes of which Justin Fields and very few others, if we're being honest, have. Could be a good fit. Interesting. Justin Fields in a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform. Can you imagine it? Because I am starting to. After the break, David Carr will hear me say things like, I wasn't impressed with any of the combine quarterbacks. And hopefully he'll then provide some hopeful context and expertise. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is coming right back.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. Andrew Levy with the former number one overall pick, the Super Bowl champion, David Carr. And the next topic is putting the pro in prospect. Saturday combine drills. David, I was blown away by the ability I saw from combine wide receivers. For me, they were the gold medalists of the underwear Olympics. For me, anyway. Speed, of course, plenty of it. But stretch and grab. Guys with Incredibles-esque bend in their hips. You ever see the Incredibles? And pigskin magnets in their hands. The game speed I saw from so many of these guys in the gauntlet drill was simply astonishing. And I was glad to see it, David, because they may need to make up for what I would characterize as hugely underwhelming performances by the combine quarterbacks. David, did the combine quarterbacks like Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy miss a golden opportunity to make us forget about Caleb and Jaden and Drake? Because not for one second did I forget about Caleb and Jaden and Drake while watching those guys out there on Saturday. Help me with this.
That's the fear, right? You open the door for these guys to kind of highlight their ability and, and you're not out there competing. But man, I'm with you, dude, because when I was sitting there watching, let's just take Bo Nix, for example, like when you watch him at Oregon, they're dynamic, they're fast, like they're movable, man. He completes a ton of passes. But I mean, I was watching him, like, I got to take him out back, man. Like, we got to get on the field. We got to do some drops. Like, the accuracy's not there. The ball, like, the velocity's not there. I mean, it was hard to watch. It was hard to watch. And it's hard because I sometimes watch it, and I'll remember, you know, when I was that age, you could throw it 100 yards. You know, everything was on point, yeah. You know? And so I find myself being a little bit too judgmental, but then the other people in the room are kind of feeling the same thing. And I don't feel as bad, but yeah, it was difficult. You know, those guys, you know, for me, like they're the guys at the top are just different. They're different, right? If we would have went out there and saw Drake throw it around, it would look like Josh Allen. Like, that's what it would look like.
Interesting.
You know, we would have been celebrating and we've been excited and he'd been consistent, but it would have been fun. You know, but you open the door for like a Joe Milton now. Like, because those other guys didn't look great. Like, Bo Nix didn't look great. I'm taking a chance on Joe Milton.
Joe Milton, you know, won. Honestly. He won the day, right? He definitely won the Saturday quarterback combine drills. And I'm assuming, David, that you saw more good than my amateur eye was able to pick up. Joe Milton certainly popped. Kid from Kentucky, Leary, got some love from Daniel Jeremiah. But, of course, it was always delivered with notes of surprise, which each time kind of strike me as significant, right? That there's this slight note hanging in the air of surprise when it's like, oh, wow, that was pretty good. But yeah, Milton popped a little bit. That arm looks like a machine, right? I mean, that seems like next level power. And they kept talking about the fact, DJ kept talking about the fact that he was taking some mustard off the ball for all of those intermediate throws that you talk about so often on the podcast. So Joe Milton did win the day for you.
You know, for me, like when you watch Joe and you watch guys like Anthony Richardson last year, they have just so much ability.
Yeah.
And you just find yourself as a coach. This is why Joe's going to get drafted higher than he should.
Because of projection, not production.
Yes, exactly. And because coaches are going to sit up there in those seats and say, I can work with that. You know, I can make that. Because it's everything you want.
But didn't we all say that to ourselves? You and Derek sitting there watching me at home, Gracie looking up occasionally. Actually, it was so funny. She looked up. She looked up. At the slow-mo of the kid from Notre Dame with the long hair and the kind of the Bravo reality show good looks, right? And it's the slow-mo as they were going to break. She looked up and she turned to me, and this is all she said during the entire quarterback drill. She goes, "Is that for real?" it was such thinly veiled judgment of something that was clearly like a vanity play, and I'm not getting on Sam for that. It was more, you know, our choice as a network to kind of go super slow mo on the kid. It looked like something like a I don't know. It looked like a Temptation Island promo, not an NFL combine moment. But
That was Sam's best moment.
It was Sam's best moment. Yeah, fair enough. In fact, let's not say any more about that. You do have a pro day, Sam, as everybody else does, to kind of get it right. Yes. But my last question about Saturday, David, in all seriousness, did you see a starting NFL quarterback out there? And if so, who was it?
Well, so two guys pop into my head when you ask me that specific question. And the first one is, it comes with a caveat, because as we've talked about before, I think J.J. McCarthy is a guy that I did not really expect to see a lot of at the combine. I think I'm in the boat of, he's on a great football team. And I think that, like with JJ, I think that if he lands in a place like Brock Purdy landed, I mean, that's easy to say, right? Land with Kyle Shanahan and the San Francisco 49ers, he could be a great quarterback. He really could, because he has all the components. He's boring, right? He takes the completions, but he's pretty sound. Like, he's fundamentally sound, man. Like, he does the right things and he looks the part. So I would say JJ, if put in the right situation, could be the guy. The other guy that's really interesting to me is, he doesn't move around a lot, but Michael Penix, for me, I think that is he just fits the mold of a guy that can sit back 7 yards behind the center and throw it wherever he wants.
Yeah.
So if you can get past the shoulder injury stuff and some of the, you know, wear and tear on him, and he can find himself in a good situation, he's going to be able to rip it. He'll throw it anywhere on the field. And I think it's just a matter of a good football team. So starting quarterback, though, man, that's, other than JJ, it's going to be really hard, you know, for me, because I think a lot of those guys are a work in progress.
Before we go, oh, by the way, let me circle back on something you just sort of casually threw out there. He's boring, which you actually mean as a bit of a compliment, right? Maybe not artfully worded, but a compliment.
No, it's a
compliment. On your best days, David, were you boring?
I try to be. Yeah, you try to be boring. That's your quarterback, is to just be an extension of the coaching staff and run the offense so smoothly that it looks easy and it looks boring and it doesn't look like it takes a lot of effort. So it is a compliment to JJ.
I love that. Before we go, I know you're going to look back to Thursday night on TA broadcast today and name check a few pass rushers who stood out to you in the D lineman drills. Who caught your eye on Thursday and why?
Well, so beyond the obvious, I mean, Dallas Turner, obviously from Alabama, was a good kid. He's a good looking player. But like Chop Robinson, like he looked really good. He looked like a guy that's explosive in short space. And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't see a lot of these guys during the year because we're busy watching our league.
Of course.
You know, but when you watch these guys move around, you start to dig into their film. Like there's some guys that can really make a difference here. And you look at how impressive and how important it is to have good defensive line play and guys that can dominate. Like, so I think like Gabriel Murphy can dominate. He's an explosive guy. Doesn't have like super long arms. Like a lot of defensive line coaches or defense coaches get enamored with like long arm guys that can extend and shed blocks. But this dude is so explosive. Like all of his other numbers are like elite, off the charts, lateral quickness. So that's impressive.
UCLA's Gabriel Murphy, who David just name checked. Maybe the arm length isn't exactly what some of these guys are looking for. And yet when you consider that since 2021, his 152 quarterback pressures, third most in college football, according to our friends over at PFF. That is sort of like explosion made manifest, exactly what you're talking about. And you also liked the kid from Florida State,
Jared Verse. I like Jared. I think when you look at him, he's a tough sucker, man, on film. Like I just love the way he plays, and he's intelligent. Like he doesn't just run his assignment and just kind of fly hair on fire. He's one of those guys. He's like, you know, you'll throw a screen to Chris Jones' side, he'll bat it down, or to Aaron Donald's side, he's like right there. You're like, how does he know that stuff? Jared has that type of IQ. And then to see him kind of moving around this weekend, it's like, it just solidifies for me that he's a great player. So it'd be fun to watch.
The three D linemen who caught David Carr's eye on Thursday. And again, let's keep in mind, listener, that sometimes, especially on this podcast, for me, it's all about the perspective, the POV. And when you get a quarterback's POV of the guys who are paid to assault him, well, it's the ones who scare him, the ones who stand out, the ones
look like
a real challenge
That's
to
right.
you and your brother,
yep.
you know, entering the league. Chop Robinson, Gabriel Murphy, and Jared Verse. Jared Verse, by the way, his player comp, DeMarcus Ware, Hall of Famer, DeMarcus Ware, height, weight, hand, arm, 40-yard dash, almost exact to DeMarcus Ware. DeMarcus Ware, of course, was a first-round pick, 11th overall, by the Dallas Cowboys back in 2005. To wit, a ruling on the Cowboys. Jerry Jones says the Cowboys are all in this season. Well, what does that mean? What should it mean? That's next on NFL Total Access, the podcast.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
You are listening to NFL Total Access, the podcast. Andrew Levy, so pleased to be joined by our good friend David Carr. And the final topic today is hype versus hope, the NFL annual study of which takes place in Dallas, Texas. Now, David, Jerry Jones said the Cowboys are preparing to go, quote, all in this offseason. Can I get a translation, please? Mm-hmm. What the hell does that mean?
It's a little bit of a panic button, I think. You know, all in means, you know, we're not building something that could be special. You know, it's we're getting to the end of this thing if we're not already there. And because I think that he sees what we see, you see a lot of guys in that free agent list coming up this year and next, you know, two of your best offensive linemen that you've had that have been cornerstones there, your running back position, your quarterback, best wide receiver. I mean, there's some guy, obviously Micah Parsons, right? Dan Quinn's not there anymore. You know, for me, it's a little bit of a panic button. I think that Jerry feels like they're going to have a bad football team, and I don't believe they're going to be a bad football team either. But I just think that there's so many questions with that football team for me as you start to near, you know, a situation where a lot of these guys might say, you know what, I'm going to try moving my ship somewhere else and see if we can't find any fish. That's just the way I feel. You know, veteran guys, as they get towards the end of their career, they want to win. That more than anything else, they've made their money, they want to win. And I think that you look at some of those names on the list, they're going to be looking for greener pastures if this thing doesn't go right.
Team needs for Dallas Cowboys, according to many, maybe most experts, left tackle, center, linebacker, cornerback, running back, defensive tackle. That's a big list of important positions. Final question on the Cowboys, David Carr. Their Super Bowl window, which is weird to even talk about after 28 years. What are we saying? Super Bowl window? But let's ask the question. I ask it of a few teams.
Yeah.
Is it wide open? Is it closing? Or is it closed?
You know when it's like kind of hot in the room and you kind of where's he going with this? You know, and you just want to kind of crack it just a little bit. It's cold outside. Just want to let a little bit of air in. That window's about like that.
Okay.
It's about like that. Getting ready to have
so you're not opening it wide enough to risk, you know, pneumonia, right? Or to really, mess with the heating bill. It's just a little bit, like an inch and a half, just to let a bit of a cool breeze through. In your construct, it's relief. In this construct, it's dire. At least it's not after 28 years, like painted shut, right? Like we've all had those apartments where you have windows that are painted shut. But hope springs eternal, such is the power of good branding and a good roster, right, David? I mean, let's not pretend that Dak and Pollard and CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence and a returning Trayvon Diggs, let's not forget that. Let's not pretend that those guys don't wear a star on their helmet. So David Carr says, no, the Super Bowl window is not shut. It's not closed, but it is closing. So, you know, get to work. Keep in mind, Dallas Cowboys fans, I know there are a lot of you out there. Your draft positions, you've got the 24th pick in the first round, the 56th pick. That's a second round pick. You've got a third round pick, a fifth, a sixth, and 2 7th round picks. And according to David Carr and just about anybody else, you better hit on most of those. I want to thank today's special guest, David Carr. Thank you for making time for us, bud.
You got it, buddy. No problem.
And I want to invite the listener to join us next time when we will have a very special guest, Robbie Chosen. Robbie Chosen's going to stop by. I've got a lot of questions for him. I think he's in a position that a lot of us will find interesting. You may be interested by the man himself, the career that he has put together, and the player that he is. But he also represents the kind of player that is in flux right now, that is in transition, potentially. He is a free agent player. He's a free agent wide receiver. What does that mean? How much anxiety is rifling through the veins of a free agent in the NFL right now? Maybe it's not anxiety at all. Maybe I'm being negative. Maybe he is infused with, possibility of what could be, of what the next challenge might be. Does he stay where he is? Is he moving to greener pastures, as David just referenced? Let's see about that when we put Robbie Chosen in the chair next time. Till then, take care of you. Take care of your crew, and ciao for now. NFL Total Access is a production of the NFL in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.